And we're going to skip over there. We've come up, got to the fourth there, but we're going to skip it this week. But I've seen something here in the scriptures the other day that was really interesting. And it's in Matthew chapter 4. And it's the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll just start out reading. And chapter 4, verse 1, it says, afterwards, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the lonely wilderness in order to reveal his strength. The Holy Spirit's strength against the accuser. By going through the ordeal of testing and after fasting for 40 days, Jesus was extremely weak and famished. Then the tempter came to entice him to provide food by doing a miracle. So he said to Jesus, how can you possibly be the Son of God and go hungry? Just order these stones to be turned into loaves of bread. And he answered, the scripture says, bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found in every word, which Amen. Constantly goes forth from the mouth of God.
Amen.
And then the accuser transported Jesus to the holy city of Jerusalem and perched him on the highest point of the temple and said to him, if you're really God's son, jump, and the angels will catch you. For it's written in the scriptures, he will command his angels to protect you, and they will lift you up so that you won't even bruise your foot on the rock. And once again, Jesus said to him, the scripture says, you must never put the Lord your God to a test.
Amen.
You know, two times. Amen. Mm-hmm. You really the Son of God? You know. But I notice here within this, these two times, that the first time Satan tempts him, he's talking, you know, the conversations about bread and the word. You know, we come and did communion this morning. And the next time he comes to him and he tells him to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Well, I'd seen, let me read you this on the pinnacle of the temple. Okay. This is talking about inscribed on it. Well, let me back up here so this will make sense to you. This stone at the pinnacle of the temple, at the bottom, there's a stone. And this stone is molded after an ancient stone found in the southwest corner of the Temple Mount. Inscribed on it in Hebrew is, y'all have to have this, Ayabet Hatikihalid. And that means the hour of the blowing of the trumpet. And this place is referring to the pinnacle temple where Jesus was tempted. But in this temptation two, you know, he tempted him with bread, and then the second temptation with jumping off and the angels would catch him and all. But Jesus quoted him, never put the Lord to the test.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to Exodus, when the people tested the Lord about the water, you know. And, mm-hmm. and Moses, remember, he struck the rock and the water gushed forth. But this water, they tempted God by saying, is God really with us? Is God really with us? Is God really with us? And then he told Moses, go strike the rock. But how many of y'all ever, while we've done our communion, was talking about bread and water? You know, scripture says, there's three things that agree here on the earth is the spirit, the water, and the blood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how many of y'all maybe have ever been sitting here doing communion and you think, is God really with us? Is God in this meal? Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully not. But he is. He is.
Mm-hmm.
He is. And but he defeated Satan with his word. But within this second time, Satan tempted him. He really tempted him with the wrong scriptures. Hmm. Because he tempted him, or he brought Psalms 91 to him. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, the angels will protect you if you jump off here. But I'm going to read from Psalms 91. But before we read there, we see the bread, the water, and then Satan realized, you know, this was a son. He doesn't know. He wasn't no need tempting no more. Jesus told him who he was. He didn't know who he was. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Satan says, man, if you just fall down and worship me. Mm-hmm. But the point I'm trying to make is, from when we do communion, the bread, the drink, you know, that worship comes, you know, when we realize who he is and what he's done for us. But here in Psalms 91, this is when Satan used the scripture against him. He says, God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. And you even walk unharmed among the fierce powers of darkness, trampling over one end of the beneath your feet. Mm. Got a little tongue tied here. But it goes on to say, but for here is what the Lord has spoken to me. This is us. Mm-hmm. You know, after this temptation. Because you have delighted in me, amen, as my great lover, amen, I will greatly protect you.
Amen.
I will set you in a high place,
amen,
safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray.
Amen.
And you will find and feel my presence, even in your time of pressure and trouble. I will be your glorious hero and give you a feast. You'll be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation.
Amen.
You know, and that comes from that communion with him, that partaking of the body and the blood. That praise just comes forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the Lord, he did so much for us, not only going to the cross, but in the defeat of Satan that day.
Amen.
When he just spoke to him and put that pure word back on him. I mean, it just tells us of him feeding us spiritually for the rest of our lives, and that,
amen,
he's going to protect us. And when that trumpet blows, he's going to take us home too.
Come on, brother.
Amen.
Well, Adrian, come on, brother.
You know, whenever Jesus said, first you take and bind up the strong man, because one has come along that is stronger than the one that was here before, the strong man. Jesus does not have a rival of any kind.
He doesn't.
It's like an ant in a boot. Okay?
Yeah.
Boot, Jesus, and Satan. That's all it is.
The other thing we don't want to miss, he said, if you will fall down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. When Adam fell, his authority over this earth was transferred to Satan. He is the God of this world and the world systems.
Yes, ma'am. The Babylonian system.
But our God sits above the circle of the earth. And it is his footstool, and we are his power of attorney.
Preaching.
We have the power of attorney. Let's use it.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
We're not ants.
Okay.
I just want to say a little encouragement. Word before I read the poem, and like this poem is like when I was gonna do another poem, but then I found this one, so I'm like, maybe Holy Spirit want me to do this one, because I don't know, it's just really raw and real. And like right now I feel like I'm just pressing. And then he gave me yesterday this word. It was like press through the brokenness or something. Pressing through the brokenness. And like I don't know, I don't understand everything, but like sometimes I like when I do these poems, they help me to like show the Lord that I'm pressing. And I don't know, I want him to see my heart, that I'm still with him, even though I feel broken, even though the enemy doing so much. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stay with God forever and be a saint forever. I'm never going to, you know, I don't know. People become atheists. People become, I don't know. That's not me. I'm like, it's hard. Like, I've been there where you feel so much pressure. You're like, I can't do this, God. But he always helps us to bounce back. And, like, I know that I know in my heart that I'm going to be with God forever. Yeah. He just is everything. So I wish people knew that. No, it's like, I'm going to leave this Christian. No, it's not going to get better. You have to stay with God. Because even if, like, you feel like your time on earth, you have all this pain, but you can have the promise of heaven. There will be no more pain. So, you know, I wanted to say that.
Yeah, one thing I want to comment on. Have you seen the videos of the little kid running back and forth in front of the glass, which is like this thick, between with a lion, trying to bite the child's head?
Yeah. I've seen
that is Satan's, what he is a counterfeiter and a liar.
Right.
He's like that lion. God is between you, and God has told me. When I saw someone, I stopped at a stop sign, and I could see the evil on this guy. And I said, but God, you told me that no harm shall come nigh me. Come nigh. He says, Deborah, you are in me. It's an infinite distance between you and that person. I know it looks like he's right there at your door looking in at you. You could see the hate on his face. But God said, I am an infinite God. When you're in me, there is an infinite distance between you and the world. So even though that lion is following that kid back and forth and stopping every now and then, is going, trying to bite the child, he can't do it.
Wow.
It's just a lie. You can see what Satan is trying to do, but there is an infinite distance, like that glass, that he can't get through. Now, if you go on the other side, and
yeah,
you're done,
go to the world.
When you go over there, then you're fair game. But as long as you're on this side in the infinite God.
And the child had the right response. Child's not a bit afraid.
No, the kid's just running and laughing. That's what we got to do. Just like, you know, we need to go every now and then.
I love it. Thank you, Lord. And also, I want to say, this poem, I wrote it with a young man. His name was Ray, and he have a great call in his life. He wants to help children and help the community. He's come from rough places. He's been out there, but God is using him. And, yeah, so we kind of collaborated with this. But the poem, without further ado, is called Through My Eyes. And it says, there are people out there who will never feel my pain, the nights of fear, the moments of shame. Mom and daddy couldn't help. They didn't know how. So I went through difficult things as a child. How I wish someone could see life through my eyes. To truly understand my silent cries. Why I'm angry. Can't they recognize when a person is hurt? Thank God I found Jesus to show me my worth. He loved me when I felt like the worst thing on earth. But he, lower than dirt. But he saw the value in me. That I'm worth loving unconditionally. And though at first I was blind, my eyes now see that he made me free.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Freedom.
I remember once I was looking at this movie star and I was going, I was just being honest. I was like, God, it would be really nice to wake up and look in the mirror and look, have that face looking back at me. And you know what he says? Deborah, you're worth 1,000 of her. Or 100 of her, whatever he said. And I was like, okay, that makes me feel better. But I would still say it would be nice.
That was your flesh talking.
I mean, we're
but you listened to your spirit because you heard God say
it. It made me feel good. He says, you're worth 100 of her, 1,000 or whatever he said. But yeah.
I wish you'd tell me that when I look at people who have hair.
Tell me about it.
We are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Absolutely.
Yes, Jim.
Pastor
Jim. Little Jim.
No. So he shaved all his off on purpose. Huh?
Yeah, but his. That's because he's lost it.
You know, every look that's out there looks good. I saw a man, he was bald, and he had long hair in the back. But he wanted hair up here, and he did something. He got
Bosley.
Yeah, he got something and got hair. But he looked better before he did all that.
Really?
You know, God is just, good. He made us right.
I've got freckles. They don't bother me, but Reba, she's got freckles too, and she calls them angel kisses.
Yeah.
You can look good at it.
I think it's funny that God's sense of humor that Caucasians get dark
spots.
Dark age spots. I have white age spots. It looks like someone threw bleach at me. It's like, seriously?
And where are these age spots? I'm like,
those white freckles. There's one right there.
I'll have to. Oh, it's so big. I have to put my magnifier up.
I got bigger ones. It's like, God, thank you for your sense of humor.
Yeah.
And one guy said, you know, we was talking about cars and paint jobs and things. He said, if you like it, somebody else gonna like it. That's how people are.
Yeah.
Somebody gonna like it, the way you look.
Yeah.
And they'd rather have the way smiling the way you look than anybody else.
You know, that's protective, because if everybody liked everybody, we love each other, but, you know, mating-wise, I mean, that could get really bad.
Quick.
Quick. So it's good that we're uniquely made. Yeah. We're made for somebody.
I'm going to go ahead with part two. This is what I want to get at. And we're focusing on Paul.
He is
not sweating. It's Apostle Paul.
He seems like he's kind.
He said, I want to start with this. He went through a process before he had ears to hear. So a lot of things happened. But I noticed this morning, I was doing some research, and this is Galatians 1, verse 15. It said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the brethren, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, he's pointing out that God had him in his plan all along.
Amen.
And let's go back to Acts chapter 7. When we first met Paul, his name was Saul. And God changed his name. He was consenting to the. He was holding the coats of the men that was actually stoning Stephen.
Yes.
And Stephen went through that discourse. I won't go through all that. He gave a synopsis of the whole Bible up to that point. Mm-hmm. He talked about how God called Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Then mm-hmm. Moses, then he led them out. He talked about the Exodus. Mm-hmm. And he was showing them that he do believe and honor the prophets and Moses.
Mm-hmm.
But Stephen preached it with Christ, while Paul was contributing mm-hmm. to his death by holding the coats for the man that was actually stoning. Now, Paul had... They were in disagreement. People get into, you know, when they, religious thoughts, when they are dogmatic about them, and here you are doing something different, and that's an offense. And Saul felt like they're doing God wrong. He didn't know. He was ignorant of what Christ came to do. But he heard words that he never heard before that just trumps everything else he ever heard. But he had enough love of God in him not to throw stones. But he was angry at the way, what they used to call it back then. He was angry at the way of Christ. Mm-hmm. And he was holding the coat in ignorance. Mm-hmm. But he heard the word. Because Jesus made a reference in Acts 9. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. His focus, he really did have a love for God. Something for God to work with. When the ears the illustration is when you have ears to hear, it's because you have a desire for what's right. Mm-hmm. And now enough word got in while Stephen was preaching to prick his heart. But it didn't convince him yet. It pricked his heart. When we love other people and introduce them to God's love, the word is forming in them. They heard about who Jesus is. They have a mindset about how church people are. But when they meet somebody that's following Jesus, it can be totally different than what they imagine. When the love of God is shared with people, you're introducing Christ to them personally. And when they hear your words and your conversation, the way that you are, it does the same thing that the word is doing. That same healing process that's in you is now visibly in your life, and it's recordable.
It is.
And people see it; they have a reference for it. Yeah. Now, faith comes by hearing and hearing.
Right.
But vision is better.
Right.
And you know, when people have a visual, that's louder speech.
Yes, it is.
Because you can understand a point faster.
One of my friends that got baptized in the Holy Spirit, his whole family changed. The siblings that were living together out of marriage got married. I mean, his whole family began to change. And it took him to Word of Life to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I asked him, he had asked me, how do you and Lenitra, our friend, how do y'all pray and keep getting things to happen? I said, is that what brought you to church with me? He said, no. A lady fell in the cafeteria, and he said, Lenitra grabbed that woman's head and started praying in the tongue, praying in tongues, praying for that woman to be raised up. And he said, she got up off the floor and walked off. I said, so that's what convinced you? He says, no. It was her fervent prayer that she was praying like there was no other way that it would happen other than for that woman to rise up. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's seeing, like you're saying, mm-hmm. what we're doing. Other times it's seeing the results of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But it was her heartfelt, faith-filled prayer that brought that guy from being just a Christian to a Christian who does nothing but order all of Charles Capp's book and read them, order all of John mm-hmm. Osteen's books and read them.
Passion in your heart with the word.
Yes, passionate. Yeah.
Come on. That's fire of God right there.
It fell on him and his whole household.
See, before the fire, before you receive the fire, you can't really even hear God. When you receive the fire, man, everything becomes clear. Mm-hmm. Just like Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, before the colt was touched to his lips, everything was thundering and lightning. You couldn't understand nothing. He's like, where am I? Yeah. After the colt touched his lips, his iniquity was forgiven and his sins were forgiven. And immediately he understood God. He understood these are speaking. I understand now. It's not thundering lightning no more. And then he mm-hmm. said, hey, I'm going. The passion came in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, man, we need that fire on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We can set the world on fire with that.
I've seen this one, not only the person, but the family changed by him observing the heartfelt, faith-filled prayer of a righteous woman.
Now, when we display the love, the wisdom, the knowledge of God, whatever people need, God is able to work it through you
mm-hmm.
to supply them.
Amen.
And that would charge their heart just like when they hear the word. A visual is just as stronger than their speech.
Yes.
Jesus said, he taught them that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. He was teaching them a lot.
Yeah.
But it also comes by vision. Vision.
Yes.
And when you have an illustration, that's power. Paul, through hearing what Stephen said, and he saw them stone him,
mm-hmm.
you know, he was going through some changes. He was hearing the word. He was convinced one way, but he was hearing something greater. But he didn't have the, you know, he'll never Paul, at that time, he couldn't forget what happened to Stephen. That's too notable. You can't forget something like that. But he was on the road to Damascus anyway when Jesus knocked him off his horse.
Can I read the rest of it?
Yeah.
About they laid the young man's feet, whose name was Saul.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what he saw. Mm-hmm. This is what Saul saw in Stephen. And they stoned Stephen, which must be horrific, you know, painful, running free. You can imagine in your imagination. Mm-hmm. What did Stephen do? Calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice. Stop. No, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said so, he fell asleep. Why wouldn't that change you?
That will change.
Woo!
That
is power.
That was not eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth.
No.
So he would have been.
Where did he get that strength? That's what he questioned, his strength. How would he behave this way? Right. How did he do it? He got him seeking answers by seeing the visual, as you say it.
Yeah,
that's good.
This would change when he was on the road to Damascus, and well, Brother Horton pointed out he may not have ridden riding a horse. It didn't mention a horse. I always vision.
Oh,
you know,
I see him on a horse. He might have been walking.
He could have been walking, but when he got knocked down, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He saw the glory of God. He answered his own question. And from that moment, when he said, Who are you, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I am Jesus. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Well, now, he's alive to God. And the people that was with him heard Jesus tell him to go to the street called Straight. They didn't hear the whole thing. So they were just like Paul Saul was in the first place. But they obeyed the voice and took him to the street and straight and left. And he got prayed for by Ananias, and he received the Holy Spirit and got his sight. So now, he really loves God because he know that he injured the church. He did things against the church. And let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. See, as we change and go forward, we see things in great ways.
You want my passion?
Yeah, let me do this one first.
Okay.
He said, this is 1 Timothy 12, he said, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious. And I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. He did it ignorantly and unbelief. God had mercy on him. He was more deceived than rebellious.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then he repented.
Mm-hmm.
And now Satan, he became something for Satan to reckon with, because now he loves God for real.
Mm-hmm.
He know that he was duped. He know the pain of people who were just like him.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew the struggles of the people that he was sent to.
Mm-hmm.
He meant business.
Yeah.
It says
he was looking to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
When you follow God, when you pray for his precious promises, don't take no for an answer. If God says yes, stick with it.
Amen.
And he did, you know, his eye was single and his whole body was full of life.
Preach that, brother.
And he had ears to hear. He was adjustable. When you love God, you become adjustable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I first mentioned how Perry Stone, pre-tribulation, Pastor Lincoln, and Irvin Baxter, post-tribulation, all of these men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. But they see in points. All of them are right in their cases. There will be Christians when the rapture happens, and then there's going to be people that get saved after the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Lord is preparing. See, we can't forget about the people that he's going to save. Even now, all the recordings that we do, the radio, the website, everything that you do, you're contributing to that. And I'm asking the Lord to guide people to this information.
Amen.
After we're gone. Because, see, the way my